We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Backliners podcast. Apologies if I blew your eardrums out there. It looks like I did on OBS. Hey, we're back. We still have this podcast.
That's weird.
It's been a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. I do think, you know, Barry and I have not talked about this even a little bit, which is the perfect way to intro this. I think that the podcast, you know, in previous years was a lot about current SPL happenings and current Smite game happenings.
Depression,
right? Yeah, all of
what
those
happened
types of
last
week. Yeah, exactly. Just like
yeah,
that.
Of course.
And, you know, obviously with no SPL and our lives both changing, I think it has been difficult for us to keep up with, first of all, our normal schedule. But, you know, the types of topics that we would have aren't really available. I think moving forward with the podcast, we're probably going to want to do more episodes, kind of like what we got here. I am seeing my left-right balance is off, and I don't know how to fix that. Unlucky for those listening. Sorry, don't know how to fix it.
Proud of you.
Won't do anything to try. today's topic, this was suggested to us in our community Discord, patreon.com/backliners, if you want to join that. And it was to talk about God kits, not necessarily, you know, a kit strength is not the damage numbers that it does, because damage numbers can be changed very easily. More about what God kits do we feel like have the best tools to do their job in the game. We're not going to be going through every single kit across every single role because we want to keep this podcast manageable in length. But just kind of looking at each role and thinking, this is what a strong kit needs, and here are some examples of those things. So if you have ideas for, you know, more broad topics like this that aren't necessarily the day-to-day, week-to-week, what's happening in Smite, we are very open to those things, so definitely send them our way. Let's start with assassins, Barry, because it starts with A. And that's the first letter of the alphabet. Before we pick some specific kits, what do you think, an assassin, and let's actually go by role. That makes more sense. So why would we start with jungle? Let's not start with jungle. Let's start with ADC.
Good.
We'll go left or right. What do you think a good ADC kit has in it?
Well, I do feel like I'm a little bit biased.
Yes.
Due to my hunter style of play.
Right. You have to be able to, like, dash out of a knockup. That's something a good hunter kit should have.
And you should be able to ult over walls, built-in crit chance, built-in knockup, the best CC in the game. As long as you have all four of those things, I think it's really good.
Okay.
Especially, like, with a passive that can allow you to safely farm over and over and over again, and you don't really care about your 1v1s because it's like, I'll be back here in like 10 seconds anyways with full HP.
Right.
So something along those lines, I think a hunter kit's really neat. but to actually answer, I've always thought safe hunters that have very high DPS at kind of all points in the game are very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I've obviously... I feel like I like both sides of the spectrum, where it's like, I like aggressive hunters that don't have escapes, but I also really like hunters that can kind of play their own game, and then also have lots of like follow-up damage off of CC and a lot of threaten or life threaten potential on their front line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this feels kind of lame, but I think Heim probably has the best kit.
Interesting.
If I just off of kit alone, no damage numbers, I feel like it'd probably be Heim. Because he has pretty good DPS on kind of all points of the game. And then he's probably the safest. He has one of the best ults in the game, in my opinion, for killing or peeling frontline. And then his knockup, in my opinion, is also just really good. But I think meta-wise, I don't think Heim's been, like, the strongest in every meta, or sometimes even, like, the safest hunter, depending on what their gods are.
Sure.
But I think kit-wise, I think his kit on paper is extremely good.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call. He does basically have all the tools that you mentioned. It's interesting that when you think about the best overall hunter kit, it's one that doesn't have an attack speed stim. That's interesting to me.
I think just because attack speed has been so prevalent in builds the last few years, I think earlier builds in earlier seasons, I don't think attack speed was as free as it is now.
Yep.
Obviously, I haven't played much this season, but in past seasons.
Sure.
Especially the last like two or three, I feel like probably ever since Cowl was a good item, you've never really struggled with attack speed builds.
Yes.
And then I think once Heim gets like an item or two going, I think his attack speed problems no longer exist.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think Heim's kit is really, really strong overall. Being a backliner that forces a defensive relic onto frontline is a really potent tool. And there have been metas where solo laners feel like they need to go beads into Heim, or else they just can't play into him. And as soon as you've done that, you've generated a lot of value. I think Heim is definitely up there. When I think about the quintessential hunter kit, like if I had to pick one god to say this is what a hunter does, it would be Rom. Like just nothing but basic attacks throughout the kit and then a high precision demanding ultimate. But I wouldn't say that he has the best hunter kit. I think just like the most pure, I guess, in terms of like what the role does at a high level. I have a couple answers, as I will for basically all of these. I think I should say this as a god designer first. This is not what I think the best design hunters are, for the record. I think it's the strongest kits and what those kits do. And I also think there is a lot of value in a lot of the most interesting space in god design is pushing boundaries and not conforming to the norm of what the kit asks for or what the role asks for. So, you know, a god like Martikaros, who does not feel, you know, as huntery as Rom, I think is potentially more interesting in some facets and has a really good space in the game. So just want to clarify that before I get quoted on Reddit 2 years from now saying all these things. When I think of what I think a kit that has every tool you could ever need in Hunter, I think of Hachiman.
Hachiman was my first answer, but I felt like it was going to be too biased, so I had to choose something else.
No, you did a good job. And I wouldn't have called you out on Hachiman, because he does do everything, right? Like, he has an ultimate that is both safety and aggressive. His dash can be aggressive, it can be defensive. He's got utility with his team attack speed. He's got a solid laning phase. He scales well. I think Hachiman, you're going to hear a lot of me glazing Fishman kits. I think Fish is one of our most underappreciated designers ever. I think the Hachiman kit is awesome. I think Ishtar is up there for me as a great kit that is very strong, plays to the role's strengths very well, and has a lot of tools. I think Ishtar is up there.
And see, I didn't know we got more than one answer. You're just cheating.
Well, you know, you think I can only pick one? You think that's possible for me?
I thought we were picking the best kit in each role.
I'm just saying a couple. And
this
of them,
guy's
you know?
Over like, here, I'm just, Mr. I'm just, Game Designer.
I can't help it. Dude, I could talk about each god forever. Like, legitimately. I love this stuff. And I got to give a shout out to my boy Onher. Onher's kit. As straightforward as humanly possible, just like Rom, just like Hachiman. Well, not Hachiman, I wouldn't say is as straightforward as humanly possible.
I would for Hachi, honestly. I feel like Hachi... I remember years ago, I would call Hachi the Mario of Hunters.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like the all-round, covers all the bases. He has poke, he has safety with his dash, he has aggression with his dash, as you said. And then his ult... I've always valued, very high teamfight ults in Hunters.
Yep.
And Hachi has one of the best teamfight ults. Obviously, it's been, nerfed two or three times over the years, but I think it's still just a very good kit.
Yes.
Or a very good ult.
Very strong, for sure. All right, let's move on to Guardians. Go ahead.
I had one more.
Yeah, hit me.
Actually, I have two more, if I don't count Hachi. Chernabog, obviously.
Sure.
I feel like his kit is just bonkers. If you look at it on paper, he has a stim, he has a root, he has 6 seconds of immunity, and probably longer, 9 seconds of immunity. And having that long of immunity and a global, he's just better Apollo, and on paper his kit does do a lot. And then I have one more, which is going to be really funny, Charybdis. Kit-wise... her kit is insane.
Yep.
But her numbers have just always been really bad. And she's never been able to kill anyone. But if you look at her kit and then crank up the numbers or even crank up the ult attack speed or the ult movement speed, she has a crazy kit. An absolute crazy kit.
I do agree. Her on-paper kit is very strong. And I think that she is significantly better than most of the player base would ever assume that she is. And it's because the ultimate doesn't feel great to use.
Or the three, or the two.
I don't have a lot of problems with the two or the three. The ultimate is obviously not the best feeling thing in the game. And if it were an easy fix, we would do it. But it's, you know... it is what it is for the time being. Not to say we aren't going to ever address it, but it is not simply a snap of the fingers, unfortunately. Because your boy can snap. I could be snapping if it were possible, but it isn't. So,
I just feel like she'd be very suffocating if she was good, and she should probably never be good.
Sure.
That's my opinion.
I think that is fair. Okay, let's move on to supports. When I think of what a support should do, I think they need to help you clear the wave early. I think they need, the best support kits are going to help you clear the wave early. And then they're going to be disruptive. And that is really the end of what supports need to be able to do. But that's because disruptive is such a wide umbrella. They can be dive supports who, you know, initiate fights. They can be peel supports who disrupt what a solo laner is trying to do or a jungler on their own backline. And both of those things are two valuable things in a kit. It's just a matter of what your comp needs. But all great supports need to be disruptive in some way. And I'm gonna kick us off here. That's why I think the best kit for a guardian, in my opinion, is Ganesh. I think he's very disruptive with his ultimate, with his silence, with his knockup. I think His one is a really good clear tool, especially, here's a hint, if you're laning with Ganesh, don't use your clear until he ones on the wave, because it gives you damage increase, and it actually helps your clear a lot. And I see even pro players would always use their clear. They'd honor impale a second before Ganesh one would hit, and I'd freak out internally.
Oh, I did that a lot.
Yeah, you did. Everyone did. You're all
bad. The wave was going to die regardless.
Not level one, it wasn't.
It was going to die.
Not level one,
okay,
it wasn't.
Well, level one, I'm doing it. But
are
after
you?
That,
are you?
I was. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. I was.
I'm not sure I believe probably, you.
I don't believe me either.
Yeah, that's fair.
I probably did about 50% of the time.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm just a Ganesh lover. I think he's really, really good. Some honorable mentions real quick to get out of Barry's way. Sobek, I think, has a very strong kit. The thing that holds him back from being a top-tier support, in my opinion, is that the 3 is so much worse than all of his other buttons and provides very little. Ymir is up there. I think Ymir is one of the strongest support kits, just in terms of what it does. And this one might be a little bit controversial, but I'm going Bacchus. I think Bacchus's kit is crazy, like crazy. It is so strong. I mean, look, again, so many great guardians, Kepri, Athena, Atlas, Sylvanas, Umoja. Like, obviously Umoja's kit in the right hands is the answer. But I'm talking about for the majority of the player base, I guess. In pro hands, Umoja's the only answer, because she does literally everything. But I think the things that Bacchus, you know, Sobek, Ymir, they do some individually pretty broken things, in my opinion.
Yeah, so my cheap answer would be Umoja, kind of like Hachi for before. Just hot, or Umoja's kit on paper is absurdly good, and she's been nerfed so many times and was still really good.
Yes.
And I think just being able to slow stun or completely keep your backline alive with heals and shields, or boost your backline out, or trap their frontline in, is just, you have so many different ways to play a teamfight, and so many good ways to play a teamfight.
Yep.
I think Umoja kind of has to be up there.
Yep.
I would say I'm just going to do 3. I don't want to do Ganesh because you already said Ganesh.
Sure.
I'm going to go Maui and Kepri just on paper. Their kits are insane. Kepri has 2 CCs. He has a prot shred and a prot buff. And Kepri allows for so much damage follow-up, and he also makes the team fight kind of really hard to play for a frontliner if the Kepri's playing well. And obviously, yes, if we're just looking at kits on paper, I assume everyone's going to be playing well.
Right.
So Kepri's skill ceiling is, in my opinion, insanely high. I do agree that Ymir as well. Ymir has an insanely good kit, but I think a lot of Ymir's kit revolves around his wall, which is an insanely good ability. I think his 2's kind of lackluster.
Agreed.
I think his 3 is really good, and his ult has kind of just gotten better as time's gone on.
Yeah.
And then Maui, I feel like you can just tell that I value CC. Maui has like 3 CCs and then a teammate save button. I don't think anyone's really played Maui perfectly, and I think his skill ceiling is insanely high.
Yes.
And even the difference in pro players between Maui, there's a really big difference. And I think he has a very, very, very hard kit that relies on your teammates playing well, and then you playing well, and then also everyone being on the same page, which is a very hard ask. So I think his floor is kind of low, even in pro play. But I think his potential ceiling is insanely high, but I don't think it'll ever be reached, which sounds kind of cringe, but I think his ability to play a teamfight well is just very high. And I think his kit on paper is really good, but maybe his numbers kind of hold him back in some situations.
Yeah, I think he's just too... I think I gave him probably one too many tools to the point where he needed to be too hard. Because mm-hmm. if the whole kit as is was really easy to execute, he'd be Umoja, you know?
We don't want another Umoja.
No, I mean, that was... We would always joke, like, uh-oh, we made Umoja too. If we thought our character was going to be turbo broken. Man, I cannot wait, bro. When Maui comes to Smite 2, whenever that is, he is going to be so much smoother. I can't wait. I'm very happy that I got to do Maui for my first god, because he's such a cool character and personality, and I'm really happy with how he turned out. But I also, like, see all of the noob things that led to how, you know, the things I want to change. Which is, you know, your first time doing anything, that's normal. But man, he has the potential to be the most fun character in the entire game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And just some mistakes on my end prevented that from happening. Dude, him, what, Smite 2, new engine, it's gonna be, mwah, it's gonna be awesome. I'm so excited. Yeah, anyways. I agree. All right, let's do mid laners. This is where it could get a little controversial here, Barry. Here's what I think a mid laner needs to be able to do. First and foremost, their most important aspects, they need to be able to shove the wave. That is number one. Because in Smite, the game pace is so high, there's so much farm around the map. You need to be able to get to it, and you need to be able to contest it. And wave shove is the most important thing. Like, above basically all else in mid. I think that you need to be able to clear the wave, and you need to be able to threaten... okay, I should clarify one more time. This is in a standard type of, like, meta. Obviously, there are going to be picks that are very good that do not just, you know, end up fitting these discussions or like these this framework that I'm putting on them. But this is just, in my opinion, the quintessential mid lane kits should be able to shove the wave, threaten you at a distance, have AoE threat. Those are the three most important things, in my opinion, that a mid laner needs. They can be a little bit less in one category, a little bit more in another, but that's my must-haves for mid lane. Would you agree with that, Barry, or change anything?
Yeah, I would agree. I also think that this is the hardest category by far.
Sure.
Just simply due off of how much mages vary in their roles and what they do. And yes. So I think from a pro player drilled into my head perspective, I'll be biased on this one. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm also only looking at mages for this. I don't want to, like, I feel like picking assassins or picking hunters in mid is kind of just different.
Sure.
It's very meta dependent, and I feel like putting like Uller or like Ishtar or Pele in there is just kind of disingenuous and just kind of feels stupid.
Sure. We'll do a separate category for that, because I do have some thoughts on that type of line.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree overall.
All right, Barry, you can kick us off this time. Who are some of your best, your strongest kits in the mid lane?
Kind of feel like Iset needs to be on there. I feel like she's never really been that good lately in mid, especially the last few years, so I don't want any recency bias to kind of sway my opinion.
Yes.
But on paper, her 3 and 2 are kind of just ridiculously good buttons.
Yep.
You kind of have a lot of kill on frontline and backline.
Yep.
And then her ult, depending on the numbers, can be one of the best abilities in the game. You have objective secure. You have a don't fight me here button. You kind of have a panic button. But I think lately, I think Iset's just kind of throw their ults down and die. So sure. I think there is a lot of recency bias at East that's not good. But I think in a mid lane meta where she can be good and probably not abused by characters like Thoth or just range characters in general or, you know, junglers.
Yep.
I think on paper, in a perfect world, in a team fight, I think she just goes absolutely crazy. I don't think her farming is that good because she has a Sand of the Wave and she takes poke and everything. But on paper for a team fight, which is kind of how I view characters or how I'm viewing characters right now, I think she's really good. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to put Ra in there, and I was thinking about this today at work. There's something about Ra's kit that's just very good to me.
Yeah.
And whenever he's played really well, which he hasn't been played that well over the years, I think it's like Pagan and Boosh, kind of just the shining stars of this character over the years.
Benny Q.
Benny Q too.
In the stretch where he was owning.
I think this character, I don't think his kit is that sick, because his one, I guess, is just damage, and his two, I think it's just the way
easily confirmable, that's valuable, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just the way his kit flows together. I don't think his kit is that strong on paper, now that I'm really thinking about it, but I think just the way it all works together, I think I like him a lot. And then, I think I have four for this one. I want to go Iset, Ra, Mori, and Thoth. Mori, just because you have really quick farming, and you can kind of threaten frontline and backline depending on how the Mori plays the game. And I think the skill cap on Mori is insanely high.
Yep.
I think she's also a character that kind of depends on the meta and how the meta's working out. But I think if assassins are good, or if you have a good frontline, I think Mori will always be good in mid. And then Thoth is just kind of the, if he gets ahead, he takes the game over. He has good long range, good secure. He's very safe as well. And I think he has a very high skill ceiling, which is kind of what I'm basing a lot of these picks on.
Sure.
Yeah, that's my four.
Yeah, I think those are good picks. Interestingly, we only shared one, though. You convinced me on Iset a little bit, though I think she might just be... I think her one is just too weak of an ability to do anything except make her support, which I think is her best role. I also didn't mention that I do value objective secure very highly, but not everyone has historically. But the only one we really shared was Morrigan. I also think the Morrigan's kit, when you have access to every kit in the game, it's pretty good. But the fact that her 1-3 are all really strong buttons in and of themselves, and underrated, her auto attack chain is really good for pushing the wave. And I think that does matter a lot in a lot of metas. Let me start by starting with some gods that people might be surprised to not hear on my list. Merlin and Tiamat, I think, don't push the wave hard enough early for me to think that their kits are... I know I said, like, balance numbers shouldn't really come into this, but... they have just never pushed the wave early enough for me to think that they are the strongest thing to be doing in a vacuum. But if you know the game is going to go 20 plus, Merlin and Tiamat are the best late game characters probably in mid. And that's why they've been meta forever, is because they just have so many tools once it comes to the team fighting stage. But what I'm talking about, when I'm thinking about what mages from the beginning of the game, and I'm okay getting into the late stages of the game, the first one I was going to say was actually Poseidon. I think this kit is really, really strong. It is disruptive in its CC. It has great objective security. It has some of the best wave push. He's got the best rotation speed besides Giannis. I think Poseidon's kit has literally everything that a mage could ever need. I think his kit is super strong. My next one was going to be Raijin. Just having that many buttons that do damage and are easily confirmable makes a world of difference. And you can tell because he's been impossible to keep out of the meta when he's any amount of good. So I think Raijin definitely deserves to be up there. And my third one was actually going to be Agni.
I was thinking about him.
I just think having a ranged stun that's pretty easy to land is a really strong facet of your kit. You know, he also has some clear weaknesses, being rooted while you're casting your ult. Your two cast time is long, but his damage output is crazy. I've always said if I'm, you know, trying to if I think I'm just outright better than the enemy mid laner, you know, if I'm like on a Smurf or something like that, I think Agni's my best possible mid lane pick because this guy will just kill people off cooldown if they're if you're better than them. So those are my three. That were not the Morgan who made up the fourth. To some people's surprise, probably I did not pick Zeus. Zeus is obviously a character I love. I don't think he fits the mid lane identity of what I think the premier mid laner should be doing very well. I think if Zeus were really strong and you wanted to find a spot for him, the more I've thought about his kit, the more I've thought this guy should just be played in duo because he wants the 2v2 because of Chain Lightning. He needs help clearing the wave. He always has. And he wants to get to late game with some help. And you should just put him in duo because duo does all those things for you.
I think his 1v1 is kind of weak, though, in duo.
Yes, once supports rotate out, you might get eaten alive. But you also might not. Like, if you get ahead on that character, it is really hard to box him because of his passive. But maybe not. We'll see. As for non-magical mid laners, I would put... So I've got two characters that I think actually do rank above some of my top mage kits. And that's Chiron, I think, is an ideal mid lane kit. That god is perfect for mid lane.
Then so happy somewhere.
I love that god. I think it's so strong. I think his kit does so much. I love having him in mid. And I think Pele also fits the mid lane. I think Set fits mid lane better than jungle. Pele can jungle as well, if not better than mid. I think Set is strictly a mid laner. And we'll get to this when we get to the jungle thing, because this might be my most controversial part, but... assassin kits that I think work really well in mid, Pele, Tsukiyomi, Set. I think almost all of those gods are just as good, if not better, in mid than they are in jungle. The AMCs, like, sure, Uller, like, I don't know. I feel like their kits don't look strictly broken to me, where Chiron's does look like, wow, this kit has so many tools. But those are more just like their numbers have always been high, but I guess if I'm holding it against Merlin Tiamat that their numbers just haven't been high in the early game historically, I shouldn't really hold it against or I should actually hold it against AMC and Uller. And I'm going to, because, you know, this is our podcast and I can do what we want. Not any other non-mage mid lane specific kits that you think fit your ideal mid laner?
I don't know. I don't think I would put Chiron on there, because I feel like if you take away Bluestone, I feel like Chiron mid is just kind of bad. I feel like he kind of relies on Bluestone a lot for kind of everything he does.
Yeah.
I think in... Strictly on... Well, I guess strictly on paper, you still have to see that he's doing damage. I would probably put... Honestly, the same ones you did. I think I would put Set in there for sure. I'm not 100% on Chiron. I think
Ven is so mad at you right now.
I know. I think he's really good, but I think he's just dependent on items.
Sure.
Which might be a cop-out answer, or an answer that doesn't matter, I guess.
Yep.
I'll give it to you. I think Chiron should be on there.
Thank you.
And I think, if I'm thinking kid alone, I feel like I should put Yuwong on there.
Sure.
I feel like I should take one of my mages off. I'll probably just take Ra off and replace him with Yuwong.
Yep.
Because I think Yuwong's kit is really good, but... It's just, it's a bit of like player skill and then like damage numbers. I think it's always held him back because he just doesn't feel threatening to like anyone. But I think if his numbers were higher or if it's like a perfect world, I think having a root on your backliner and then having an ult that just wins you games, I think is obviously really good. I think Ra kind of does the same thing with an ult that just wins you games, but... I think Yuwong having a root just kind of pushes him ahead of Raw.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think Ra is one of the most fun characters in the game, but I think from what a what his kit does perspective, I probably wouldn't put him on the list. Near the top. All right, before we move on to Jungle, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. They say, what's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Barry, what's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day?
Sleep.
Yeah.
Every day.
God, that is a hard sleep. One to pass up. Like, an extra hour of sleep. Sounds really nice. It does.
More eating.
Yeah. Eating more, an extra meal I couldn't be mad at. Extra sleep. Could, you know, if there was like a dedicated, like, this is your hour to be outside. Like, that would be kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, you know? That'd be so nice.
Your outside hour. I think that would be good. I want my outside hour. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? Man, BetterHelp making us think. I think that's the point. The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. And this is actually very true. My therapist and I were talking recently about prioritizing free time and all that kind of stuff. And this was more, I was able to do it more when I was working less from the office, but I started just taking like 15 to 20 minutes every day and just going outside into my backyard and like throwing a ball for my dog and maybe like doing some disc golf putting and intentionally not listening to any like audiobook or music, not doing anything else, just being outside and spending time with my dog and, you know, doing something that I enjoy. And it kind of went crazy, to be honest with you. Now that I'm working from the office more, I miss it. That like 15 minute little window.
Kind of went crazy.
Dude, it went crazy. It was really good for my mental. So shout out to my therapist as per usual. This, like I said, this actually is like very applicable to some stuff that I've talked about recently. So BetterHelp's kind of on the right track here. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/backliners today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/backliners. Big shout out to BetterHelp, of course. All right, Barry, before I go, because this might be our most controversial one, tell me what your ideal jungler kit looks like. Like, what do they do?
I would say it threatens backline or just can threaten anyone at any point in the game. I think junglers that kind of just passively farm or can't gank lanes or kind of need to wait for that picture-perfect teamfight opportunity, I think a lot of times fail to succeed. And I think someone that can just contribute and have a skill floor in a team fight, or just like an effectiveness floor, I guess, are just better than other kits. And then I highly value ganks early and mid game. I think if you're a character that just farms and the enemy team knows you're just gonna farm, I think it's just kind of bad. I think it works in ranked games where you can just kind of farm or like get off the ganks. That should never happen. But from a pro player or ex-pro player perspective, I feel like someone should be on the map early game making pressure. You don't have to be ganking, but to make the enemy think that you could gank.
Yep. Yes. The number one thing I think your jungler should have is crowd control. I think it is just critical for them. I think you need to have clear speed. You need to be able to get your farm in small windows. But I think backliners in Smite have almost always been strong enough that if you just get them ahead, they will win the game for you. And junglers in Smite, I think have generally, it has generally been thought of as a carry role. Like, it is where one of your best players is playing. You know, they're playing gods that Alquong, you know, the, like, that are going to chain a bunch of kills in the late game, all that kind of stuff. I just think, for me personally, that is what I do not value. I don't want my jungler. I don't want my team's win condition. Like, all right, guys, we just got to get our jungler to 35 minutes. Miss me with that. The jungler's got to get me to 35 minutes. Like, and it's not an ego thing. I think that mid lane is better equipped. Like, those types of gods are generally better equipped to winning those 35 minute team fights than junglers should be. In a you know, general vacuum. And for that reason, my number one kit in jungle, this is going to make some people angry, it's Erlang Shen. He's got the best jungle kit. When he had the knockup, I should specify, when he had the turtle knockup, he had the best kit that was capable of jungling. Because he just did everything. He cleared really fast, his setup was incredible, he had good backline threat throughout the game, but he could gank often, he could gank quickly, he could re-gank, he could set up for his backline, and he could kill people. And he could win 1v1s. I think you have to win 1v1s as well. He did that well. I think that's why the turtle knockup had to go. Because I think that he just had the best kit that you could be jungling with. Now that he doesn't, I still think he's a top tier kit for the jungle. But I think Sir Kett, her kit, is definitely up there for me. I'm going to go with Sir Kett and Thor, I think, have the two best. Thor loses a little bit of value because I think his 3 isn't the greatest button in the world. But CC, CC, CC. Like, I don't need you to be doing a ton of damage in the jungle. You need to have set up, in my opinion, for what the best possible junglers can do. And that's why I really value gods like Sir Kett and Thor.
That is really funny.
What's that?
The only one that I would change is I wouldn't have Erlang on there because I'm strictly looking at, like, the assassin tab.
Sure.
I would just add Susanoo on there.
Yeah, Susanoo's good.
He has good ganks, and then he kind of transitions into a kind of ultimate win character late game.
Yep.
I think he kind of lost his ultimate win character when he got kind of nerfed damage-wise over the years, but when that character came out and was just 100%ing everyone the entire time.
Yep.
I can't remember what meta it was. It was like Transcendence, Heartseeker, something else.
Yep.
I remember being Shablanc and just getting like 2-shot by a Susanoo.
Like, yep.
I died to like his ult and his 1, and I was like,
that will be happening sometimes.
And he just has really good ganks. He has really good chase on kind of any backline that's trying to get away. And I think if you're able to build Magi's on him, you can just play so much more freely. If the damage in your kit and the damage in your items makes up for it, he just goes on people and just kills them. And then you can have the big game-winning team fights where your ult knocks up kind of 4 or 5 people, and you just auto-win the game off of it. And I think anytime your assassin has a button that can kind of just auto-win you the game, I think it's really good. And yep. Sir Kett has been like that for a long time as well. She hasn't been good lately, but I think when she first came out and it was like, I can't kill her, she's just 100%ing me, what am I supposed to do? She has 2 escapes, she has a taunt, and I think her 2 is an insanely good button. And I think her ult is also an insanely good button, obviously. It just depends on the numbers. And then Thor, I think, is just, over the years, I think he's kind of always been on and off. But I think kit-wise, it's just dependent on his numbers. Can he actually kill backliners? But if we're just strictly looking at the kit, I think his ult is an insanely good button. I think his 1 is kind of bad, kind of good. I think his 3 is kind of mid as well. But I think his 2 and his ult kind of make up for it.
Yep.
But yeah, it's kind of funny we value the same things. It's just kind of like ult AoE characters or CC characters. Hunbots and Dajji kind of, I think, are like 4th and 5th. And then outside of that, I think it's just a big jump off for what I want in the jungle.
Yeah, you're missing my next 2 honorable mentions. I think Najah is really high on that list. I think Najah's kit is crazy for what it does. And I think Mercury is crazy. I think Mercury is a lot like Susanoo in that your early game, you are pretty good at setting up kills for your backline in ganking lanes. And then you transition to being the damage dealer late. I think Mercury's kit is crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just picturing you sitting in mid and there's a Merc on your team and you're not having to worry about the Merkles and you're just so happy just walking up to your wave, just happily farming, and you see a Mercury ulting like between your tier 1 and tier 2 and you're like, oh,
bro,
I can walk up to this wave.
Sam for Soccer's duo lane Mercury gangs have destroyed your mental. It is crazy.
I know.
He ruined you, man.
He did. That character... Like, playing against the Dan's Merc is just PTSD. Like, yep. You can never step up, and then once you stop stepping up, he just goes to other lanes, and then he might, like, visit you one or two more times after you think he's gone for, like, those 3 or 4 minutes, and then you're just like, bro, what am I supposed to do? Like,
yep.
There's nothing you can do.
Unlucky for you, Barry. Unlucky for you. All right, last but not least, solo laners. Barry, what do you view the quintessential soul laner, you know, role to be able to do?
I kind of view it similar to jungle. I think if you don't have threat on backline, you're just trolling. And I think if you are a soul laner that just is a damage sponge, I think most of the times you're just going to be useless. I think kit-wise, I was struggling with this one a lot. I hate a lot of warrior kits. I think a lot of them are just kind of boring, and they just don't do much.
Sure.
So I was really struggling with this one. I honestly still don't know. I think I would maybe go for, like, Achilles, maybe, like, Kukulin. Maybe King Arthur as well, but I feel like... this role is just so meta dependent. It's so item dependent.
Yes. More so than most roles, I'd say.
Yeah, it's really hard to just say this kit is just better than others. I think I just have such a skewed outlook on this role due to SPL. And I have like a love-hate relationship with Cthulhu. I think sometimes that guy is insane, and then sometimes he just doesn't do anything. It just depends if, like, Ken sizes meta. I think... yeah, I don't know about this role. Besides the three that I listed, I would just go Achilles, Kukulin, maybe Nike. I mean, like, Horus, if Haddock is on my team.
Sure.
King Arthur, if Glad Shield's an item. I don't know. This is a... Okay, I change it. I'm just gonna go tier. Tier's my only tier. Answer. I'm just gonna go
tier. Okay, tier. He does fit a lot of the mold that I was about to say, which is, when I think of what a good soul lane kit does, it's annoying. Mm-hmm. Like, it is generally, you have a hard time killing them for one reason or another. They need to be able to waste your time, and if they can kill you, great, but a lot of times that's item dependent. I think just being able to take damage without dying... and do something to you if you're hitting them. That's really about it. You know, when I'm talking about the lane, like, sustain is obviously a big part of it. I think having, I mean, if you can't tell by my best gods in every role, I think the best thing, here are the two best things you can do in Smite. Number one, move fast. Number two, crowd control. Those two are far and away. And you know why crowd control's the second best thing to do? Because it stops the best thing to do, which is move fast. Like, that's the whole reason why I think these kits can be strong. And so for that reason, I'm going to say Amaterasu, I think, is the best warrior kit in terms of what the raw output of the kit does. I think having a damage aura and a movement speed aura is absolutely bonkers. Barry, she gives... her whole team 21% movement speed. That's unbelievable. I think her kit is really strong. I do think Achilles was up there. And then I was going to put Guan Yu. I think Guan is really annoying to kill. He's really mobile. His team play and what he does, like, you might kill him, but he's going to shred all your prots and make the assassin one-shot you. Or he's going to be able to get a big stun off, or just live forever, or heal his backline so that they don't die. Like, I think what he does is really strong. I think Hercules' kit is very strong. If his ultimate was better, I think he'd be on the list for me. But his ultimate is literally just damage. It's a lot of damage, but it's not, you know, it's just damage. And I would put Nike on there as well. Because having a global team buff is absolutely OP. Always has been, always will be. Yeah, those are some of mine, I think.
Yeah, I'm still struggling with this one. I think I just hate warrior kits.
And I didn't just sell you on Ama?
No, I'm so biased from like a backliner's perspective. Like, playing against Ama, I'm so happy. Like,
really?
Because Ama just doesn't threaten me. Unless, like, her items are OP, Ama just doesn't do anything to me. I can just always out-trade an Ama. Unless it's, like, a 1v1, then I'm a little sad sometimes. But, I think I just view this role as just items and meta-dependent. I think, because at different times, I've thought kind of all of these characters are OP, but just based off of their kits, I don't think that they're that strong.
I think Guan Yu's kit, when I read it on paper, I'm like, this is broken.
Well, I'm very biased because I see Guan Yu as just walking up to me and he can't start a team fight at all late game.
Nope.
And so he just dies. So,
yeah, like, but look at what his kit does. Like,
slow, no, I
prot steal.
I agree.
Heal, like, cooldown reduction for his whole team.
From playing against so many Guan Yus over the years, I just see them as, like, walking up to me and dying. Or, like, they'll stun, and then you beat... Like, they'll just be horsing you late game, and then you just beads and you kill them. Like, yeah. They just don't... He just doesn't threaten you late game. Maybe you could sell me on Herc, because his late game and mid game are kind of always good, but... Guan, I remember if he just had the double fizz prop build, it was like breastplate, something else. I think it was like a few years ago. He would just rotate like level 13, 14 and be his unkillable demon machine.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is... Okay.
I think I talked myself into Guan. I think Guan might have the strongest warrior kit in a vacuum.
Yeah, I don't know. Because he just can't start a team fight late game. I value that so highly in solo.
What do you mean? The blink instant cancel horse? That's OP. I've definitely seen that happen, and I was like, that is the goofiest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, that is so goofy.
Yeah, you blink like 40, 50 units away from your team, you insta-stun, and then you're like, guys.
Anyone?
Anyone help?
Does anyone
want to get I'm setting up here.
Yeah. Yeah, here you go.
I would always take Horus over Guan if... If I could choose, I would always take Horus. But again, I might be biased just because I played with Haddix for so long.
I think you are.
But I just think Horus is just better Guan. Having an on-demand CC that you don't have to ult for is just better. And then I think his heal is probably just as good as Guan's. He has Prot Shred on his stun, and then he has a knock-up too, which I think is just better.
Sure.
There's just warrior kits just don't fascinate me. They don't draw my attention at all.
I really like warriors. I really like playing warriors.
I like playing them, but I feel like they're just so item dependent. They're just so meta dependent. It's just hard to choose one that's like, holy cow, this kit really shines in this role. Because I think they're all kit wise about average, but the items and the meta is what makes them really good. Like, when Bluestone was really OP, we saw different people playing in solo. And then when Deathtoll is really OP, or like the most recent, we saw Totem being really OP. So like Bellona and Osiris came back. It's just... And then we have a Vamana meta. That wasn't fun for anyone.
No.
You
were talking about being annoying. Vamana is near the top of the list.
For sure. Yeah. Kit wise, maybe it's Vamana.
It's not, bro. It can't be Vamana. Like, he can't. You can't have that too and have the best kit. You can't. I won't listen to any argument.
But you just kill people in your ult.
Don't care. Hate the two. I'm such a hater. Also, honorable mention. I think Osiris is so hard carried by Judgment Tether, but that ability I think is so broken that he's on the list, even though the rest of his kit doesn't really inspire me that much in terms of kit strength. I think his passive and his three have like 85% of the kit strength, and that's enough to put him in the category. I'd put Osiris, actually, probably. I think I'm going to go Gwan. I think I'm going to go Gwan, Ama, Osiris. Achilles just outside the top three.
I'm just going to go Herc, Tyr, Vamana.
You can tell what types of characters Barry doesn't like playing against, that's for sure. Those are
movement
all...
movement speed, gods that CC me or kill me.
And you didn't put Ama, who has 21%
Ama
movement speed for
the
whole
anyone.
Team? Bro,
Ama
she doesn't... zooms them to you. What do you mean?
She doesn't threaten me. She just dashes on me, and then I just beads and kill her.
Oh. All right. Well, easy enough. There you go. That's all you have to do. Okay, this was a fun episode. I hope you all enjoyed. If you have ideas for things, you know, less current events, more, you know, talking about the game as a whole, kind of like this episode, please feel free to tweet them at me. We will, of course, be paying extra special attention to our community Discord, patreon.com/backliners if you want to get in there. Suggestions in there will definitely be getting priority because those are, you know, of course, our homies of the podcast. So that's what we're going to do. But yeah, one more time, shout out to BetterHelp for being this week's sponsor. BetterHelp.com/backliners for 10% off your first month. Big fans of them. And yeah, we'll be back for the next show to talk about something else in the Smite universe. Isn't that right, Barry?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. All right.
That's all right.
Until then, thanks everyone for watching, us listening, and tuning in. We'll see you next time. Barry, you know what to do.
Bye.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Listen, you had a couple weeks of rust. You could barely tell.
I feel like I hit puberty again during that.
Congratulations. I'm really happy for you.
So did you.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.